Amen.
Good to be here. I just want to tell you I love you. I appreciate Shining Light Baptist Church always loving us and standing by us. And good to have my wife standing by my side this morning.
Ma'am.
Been through the tornado, but we see the sun shine on the other side.
Amen.
So we're all right. Good to have my little brother. He's stood with me a long time.
Amen.
I love Brother Danny. I told him we pulled off interstate. I said, most people look for the most convenient location that you can find to put a church so people can find it convenient. Brother Danny went out looking one day for the most inconvenient location that there could ever be. And he said, let's put a church there and prove them that they'll come anywhere.
Amen.
And so I admire two things about him, what he's been through and what he's doing now. And I appreciate him. We haven't sang together in a long time, so this will be an interesting task.
Yeah, we'll be good. We'll be all right.
And I've never played a white guitar. Where I come from, don't have many.
That's the words of that song.
Here, sound man, we're just going to use this middle one here, if that's all right with you. Have surgery Thursday, all right? My first one ever. I'm 53, never been cut on, never been put to sleep. So if you don't see me again, I'll be standing by a river somewhere when you get there, all right? And I hope it ain't hot, all right? Let's sing a little bit. This whole world is filled with disappointment and trouble every day.
That's right.
Many times I get discouraged and I almost lose my way. And
I
remember I'm just a pilgrim.
That's right.
This old troubled world
below.
That's the reason I keep singing.
That's right.
As I go.
Amen. Pray it now.
We're not home yet, children.
Woo!
Keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor. Then we'll sit down beside the river. How we've longed to be with Jesus. And our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day a coming. We're not home yet.
Come on now, preacher. Say, land flow.
There's a land that's filled with milk and
honey.
Just waiting there. Someday, my Jesus, he will come. He'll take me over that old sea. Oh, but I must keep on watching and waiting. This old troubled world below. That's one more reason I keep singing as I go. We're not home yet, children. Keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How we've longed to be with Jesus, and our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day a coming. We're not home yet. Just a few more days to labor, then we'll sit down beside the river. How we've lost.
we long to be with Jesus, and our loved ones go before us. There's a better day coming. We're not home yet. Oh, there's a better day coming. We're not home yet.
Amen. Thank God. Good, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Boy, you keep that in mind, y'all. Keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor. We'll sit down beside the river, brother. Devil don't want you to think about that. He wants you to think it's never going to get no easier, and it ain't never, everything's going to be awful all the time, and you've had it and all that. He don't want you to realize it ain't going to be but a few more days. We'll sit down beside the river. Well, let's move into the Bible this morning. Get your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 4. I want to read you some scripture here this morning. Quickly, God bless you for coming this morning. Appreciate you being here. And I want to bring you a message that's been on my heart this week a lot. And so you'll turn with me there to Exodus chapter number 4. This is the chapter as God, after God revealed himself to Moses through the burning bush. And God called Moses to preach. And God was equipping him for the ministry. And a conversation took place here that I want to use and preach this morning. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. That's it. Rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. When he used that scripture, God asked him there. He said, Moses, what you got there in your hand? Moses said, that's my rod. He said, I was just wondering. And I want to use that as a thought this morning. And I want to preach something that puts everybody in here on level ground. One thing I love about church is that we're all on level ground when we're in here. There's no big I's and little U's. There's no big shots and little shots. Big shots and little shots that ought to be shot. And there's no celebrities and paupers or beggars in here. We're all on the same playing field. And I want to preach this morning on the subject, serving the Lord with what you have. Serving the Lord with what you have. There's no doubt in my mind this morning that this philosophy of the world has hindered and literally stopped a lot of people from doing what they can for God. We're living in a society that everybody's expected to be smart, rich, good-looking, talented. Everybody has to be a celebrity nowadays. Before we got that mentality, and the other people think, well, I'm just a nobody because I have a flaw, or I failed, or I'm not as good, or as rich, or as good-looking, or as talented, or as smart, or as educated. We got that attitude today. But with the Lord, it's not that way, y'all. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible said, God called not many wise, not many noble. God chosen the weak things and the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And if one thing I've learned about God in all these years of preaching is that, you know what the Lord wants? He just wants what you've got. Whatever you've got, that's what He wants. And don't ever think it's not good enough. Just give Him what you have. This morning I want to take some Bible stories that you know and illustrate this truth. This story here of Moses and his rod. How could God use one man to overthrow Pharaoh and the whole armies of Egypt and lead a million people out of Egypt's bondage? How could that be? I'll tell you why. God got Moses, and Moses gave God what he had. The Lord down there one day, and he said, Moses, he said, what is that in your hand? And he said, this right here, Lord, is my rod. He said, a rod. Every shepherd in them days had a rod. Remember that scripture, David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod was used for a lot of things. It was used to count the sheep. 1, 2, 3. When they come in at night, make sure they're all in the fold. It was made to correct the sheep. You know, if one of them got out of line, or he's going to smack it in the head. That's what his rod of correction. And then it was used for lots of things like that, for parting away, keeping a predator off of them, or whatever. Now, every shepherd had a rod. Everybody knows about Moses' rod. Charlton Heston held that thing out, and all kind of weird things happened. And the sea rolled back and everything else. But it was all something special. What was different about that rod? I don't know where Moses got his rod. Maybe Moses went down there to Egypt, to the nearest, they opened up a super Walmart down there, I'm sure. They have one everywhere else. And Moses went in there and went back there where they have fishing poles and shotguns and stuff. And he said, you sell rods? He said, we sure do. What kind are you looking for? He said, I need a shepherd's rod. It was up there, and there's a whole bunch of them across there. Wasn't nothing special. He said, give me that right there. It wasn't no different than any of them other ones. Not a bit. Moses' rod was no, it wasn't magical. It turned into a serpent. He stuck it out there, and it parted the Red Sea. But it wasn't no different than anybody else's rod. It was made out of the same wood. I don't know, maybe he went down there at the river somewhere where he was found to start with, and they had a bunch of them growing like we got around here, that cane, you know, and cut one of them things down and took it home and shined it and fixed it all up and made him a handle for it. I don't know. Went to the flea market and got him one of them things and put it on there. Anyway, he had him a rod. However you look at it, he had a rod. And God looked down on him that day, and he looked at him and he said, Moses, he said, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, it's a rod. And he said, I tell you what you do. That's all you've got. He didn't have much Bible training. He had no money. He had no special chariot. He didn't have a camel, oxen, anything that we know of. And he looked down and he said, Moses, what do you have? He said, it's a rod. And he said, throw it down. And when he went like that, bam, that thing turned into a serpent and started moving like that. Then he said this. And, you know, Moses took off running. All you can see is his heels going through the weeds out through there like that. And the Lord said, come out of here. He said, I can hear you fine from right over here. And the Lord said, get back over here, man. And he said, okay, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you, Lord. What do you want? And the Lord said, pick it up. And he said, I heard about them fools over in Tennessee do that. And he said, they freeze them in a bucket and stuff like that. And he said, no. The Lord said, no. That's another dispensation, and they don't even know what dispensation they're in. So you go ahead and pick it up. I can cross them lines anytime I want to. And he said, are you sure about that? So he gets by the tail. I like it right there. And he and it turns into a rod again. You know what? He took that same rod, and he went out there that day, and buddy, here come all them people running 1.5 million in Sunday school. No restrooms, no air condition, no padded pews, nothing. Griping, deacons fussing, deacons' wives mouth all the time, and griping and grumbling, and Sunday school teachers, 1.5 million. I mean, brother, and he's out there, you know, and the Lord said, Moses, he said, I want you to take them out. And they go out there a little bit ways, and he looks out there, and there's the Red Sea. Nothing in front of him but the Red Sea. And about that time, somebody said, look, and here come Pharaoh and all of his army. And they said, now we're in a mess. I mean, you know, we was going to buy you a brand new camel when the 2617's come out. We'd have been better off just stayed in Egypt, man. Look at the mess you've got us into. Let us out here like that. And you know what Moses did? He said, what am I going to do now, Lord? And the Lord said, you remember that little thing in your hand? And he said, yeah. He said, just give it to me. And he said, all right, stand still. I'm looking forward to it, seeing it myself, and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord said, and when he does, brother, them that water starts parting out, and they walked across on dry ground. You know what? Moses did not have supernatural power. Moses did not have any kind of charisma. That he couldn't even talk plain. He was not even an eloquent preacher. But you know what Moses did? He gave what he had to the Lord, and the Lord used it. I'm saying to you today, you may not have two nickels to rub together, as they say. You may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket. You may not have anything, but you give what you have to God, and God can and God will use you. Give what you've got. Don't sit around and cry because you're not as pretty as somebody else. They're all makeup. Don't sit around and worry about because you're not as famous as somebody else. All that comes with a curse. Don't sit around and whine about because you ain't got no money. Blessed are the poor. I'm telling you something, brother. Just take what you've got and give it to God. I read about old David Livingstone, the famous missionary. And he went to the London Missionary Society to be accepted and put out on the mission field. And they didn't even want him. The first sermon that old boy preached, he got in the pulpit and read his scripture, and his mind went blank. He could not even remember what he was going to say. And he stood there. There's something about, if you've never done it, you ought to try it. There's something about standing in front of a crowd of people that does messes with your memory. It really does. I mean, you can go blank just like that. And he stood there and he said, I don't know what to say, people, and sat down. Didn't have much of an education, didn't have much training, and the Missionary Society didn't even want him. Do you know what that old boy did? He went and gave what he had to God. He said, God, I'm not much of a preacher. I don't really know a whole lot, but everything I got is yours. And he gave it to God, and he became one of the greatest missionaries of the 19th century. People still today talk of the wonderful life of David Livingstone. He's the one who went to Africa and had his arm nearly torn off by a lion and had to shoot his gun left-handed. And brother, they buried his heart in Africa and shipped his body back to Glasgow in order to bury it. You know why? Because he gave what he had to God. Moses gave that rod to God. You say, preacher, I get so tired of people saying, well, I'm just a nobody preacher. I can't. Now listen, if you can't do nothing to write your ABCs, do like Brother Ray. Everybody remembers Brother Ray? My goodness, man. Brother Ray was not the most intelligent, educated man in Burke County, but he had more sense than most people. He used what he had for God. And he made these little old crosses, and he stuck them things all over Morganton. Haven't you ever went to a restaurant or went down the road and seen, there it is, a little cross. You ever seen any of them? We all have. You know why? Brother Ray gave what he had to God. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to be able to sing like these folks, have all that talent. Brother, you take what you've got and say, God, I ain't much, but I'm giving it to you, and God will bless you. Get away with this celebrity mentality we got. That God can't use nobody unless they're good looking and can sing and have a lot of money and drive a super nice car. I mean, if you got that, great, shout about it. But God don't have to have that. You give him what you've got and God will use you. David and his sling. The Bible tells us about David in 1 Samuel. Samuel, I'm not telling y'all nothing you don't know. I mean, the armies was over here. He had on this big old hill over here, the Philistines. Over here on this side, the Israelites. And a big valley between them. And the Israelites is backslid and Saul, the leader, he is backslid and scared and his knees are knocking. And about that time, the curtain opened up and the drums started playing and the rap music came on. And suddenly, as a fellow stepped out of there, his head would touch that ceiling right there. And I mean, a man that big, and that's if you go by our definition of a cubic. And these giants in them days, their cubic might have been a lot bigger than ours. I mean, that fellow might have been able to stand down there and look. I mean, a man's hands would be that big like that right there. And a man's arms would be that big around. I mean, he could pick that thing up and throw it through that wall back there. And he steps out like that, and buddy, he begins to curse. And he cursed God. And he said, hey! Bunch of skinny people over there, send somebody out here that'll fight me. And buddy, they looked at that fella and they said, we'll never be able to do this. We're just not able to fight against that man. That represents drugs. That represents alcohol. That represents divorce. That represents all the things the devil comes against us with. The devil comes out and he says, you can't overcome this. You can't do this. There's no way you can win. And in your flesh, that's right. About that time, they looked around and they said, what are we going to do? And Saul said, I tell you what we're going to do, fellas. We are going to, at our next meeting, And our next business meeting, we're going to take up some discussion on how to have dialogue and intellect with the Philistines. They said, what? They said, man, where you been? Lord, you sound like Bernie Sanders. And he said, and they said, now Saul, we can't fight these people. There's no way we can fight these guys. And about that time, Goliath went out here and he laughed and he said, send me somebody. I mean, you know, the Bible only got 30, 40, 50 words in it. I mean, if I was in the Bible, if a Bible was written today, I'd be in it. I know I'd be in it if I was the Bible. He was quoting Kanye. And boy, I tell you what, brother, he come out there and he run his mouth. And about that time, somebody looked at him. Here come a little old lad down through there. They tell us he's about 17. I don't know. But anyway, he come down there and he said, what's going on here? And they said, shh, be quiet, be quiet. You don't want to offend them. You don't want to offend them. They'll come over here and kill all of us. They done sent airplanes in here and knocked their buildings down and everything. We got to leave them alone. Be nice. Be nice, son. He said, who is that over there cussing God? And they said, well, that's just his belief. We should accept and respect his belief. Be tolerant, David. Tolerant my foot. God teaches my fingers to fight. Somebody over there go and knock his block off. And they said, oh my goodness, you're judgmental. David, you shouldn't have hate in you. And David said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I can't stand here and let somebody cuss God. I just can't do it. I may be little, but I just cannot stand here and allow that. And about that time, he come out and he said, ha ha! He said, your music, and I heard that choir a while ago. Beyonce got the greatest album of all time. Beyonce got the greatest album of all time. They said, oh, somebody ought to go over and slap him. And buddy, about that time, David rose up and he said, let me whoop him. Let me go. They said, David, you can't do it. They said, you can't do it. You know, they put that big old helmet on him. Like that, he couldn't even walk. And a big old sword, man. And he said, I can't fight with this junk. Long story short, he lays all that down. And he looked over and he said, let me tell you people something. He said, I was out there keeping my daddy's sheep one day. And there was a lion come out of the thicket. And he grabbed one of my daddy's sheep, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord come on me. He said, I balled up my fist, I punched that lion right in the mouth, I grabbed him by his beard and jerked him around like a cat, and slung him off down in the bushes. And he said, I was out there another day, and a bear come out of the woods, and he come out there and got one of my daddy's sheep. He said, the power of the Holy Ghost come on me. He said, I karate chopped him right in the neck. I jiu-jitsu'd him in the neck. I said, I punched him in the belly. I grabbed him, and he said, the God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear shall deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine who has defied the armies of the living God. Now, that's whatever you're facing today. That's whatever's against you today. I'm telling you today, Brother David didn't have a big sword. He didn't have a cannon. He didn't have a scud missile. He didn't have a rocket, but he took what he had and he gave it to God and got the Holy Ghost, got in that rock. And buddy, he started to swing it like coming out there at that giant. And he says, come on out here, big boy, and fight like a man. He said, I hope your wife's got insurance on you because you're going down today. And Goliath said, well, cut my legs off and call me shoulder. That boy mean business. And boy, he looked like, and he said, ha, get out of here. I'll feed you to the birds. I'll make hamburger meat out of you. That's the way the world does it. That's the way the opposition says. But they tell you can't live for God, teenagers. They tell you can't live for God, young people. They tell you can't make it, mom and daddy. I'm telling you, you give God what you've got. God's able to give you the victory. I feel like I'm about to shout this morning. I'm not much, but I'll tell you one thing. If I give him what I've got, he can do something with it. I'm telling you, brother, you know the story. That rock come out of there like a guided missile. Listen, brother, I'd rather be in front of a cannon than in front of a rock that the Holy Ghost was in. Bow, man. Right smack dab between the eyeballs. Smack dab's a Hebrew word you uneducated people don't know. That means in the midst. And it hit him right there, buddy. I mean, he runs over and grabs his sword and goes whack and whacks his head off. Whack is the Greek word. That means he severed his head from his body. He picked up that big old bloody head and says, is that what you wanted, Saul? And King Saul? And they shouted the victory. You know why? Because David gave God what he had. God likes to work when nothing else will. Who despises the day of small things? Listen, D.L. Moody, He went to, they never even have a formal education, didn't go past the sixth grade. And D.L. Moody, they laughed at him. He went to be ordained to preach, and they wouldn't even ordain him. They said, get out of here. You're not even worthy to be in the ministry. And he got with God, and D.L. Moody said, made that great statement. He said, it's yet to be seen. Or you heard a preacher make it. It's yet to be seen what God will do with one man who's completely yielded to Him. And D.L. Moody said, I'll be that man. And you know what he did? What you need to do this morning. He gave every bit of him to God. You know why God ain't blessing some of you people? You're holding back. You give God a little bit, but you want to hold this back. You want to hold that back. You know what I'm preaching to get you to do this morning? Give it all. Give Him what you've got. Give Him what you've got. Give Him what you've got. And D.L. Moody went out, and they say he robbed hell of 1 million souls. And he come back, and they wanted to ordain him. And he said, I've done all right without this far. I don't need it now. And he went on preaching the rest of his life. Ladies and gentlemen, he gave God what he had. Then I read about the widow. You know, there's a widow in Mark chapter 12. That Bible said everybody was giving their offerings. Everybody was giving their offerings one day. And they did it like some of these people on TV. You got to come around and give so everybody would see how much you're giving. Big man come through, dropped in $300 or $400. Everybody see that? One, two. You ever see anybody give like that? Three, four. Or they put five ones and put a 20 around it and throw it in there like they gave a handful of $20 bills. That's what they was doing. And boy, he like my daddy. Daddy used to come in, he'd have a roll of money that big in his pocket, and it'd all be ones. He wanted a turkey shoot, and he'd have a $100 bill wrapped around it. And that's what they did. They all come in. The Bible said this one widow, she came in, and she cast in two mites. Mites. You know what a mite is? I mean, that sounds little, don't it? A mite, two farthings, half a farthing, is like two-fifths of a penny. That ain't much. She didn't make a whole lot of money, but she took it and said, I'm going to give that. And the Lord said, all right, hold it. Our sermon today is, how much did you give? And the rich man sat there, and everybody sat there, and I gave $100. He made $2,000 that week. I give $100. She gave everything she had. And the Lord said, the lady that gave the most today is that lady right there. God don't look at what you give. He looks at what you keep and percentages off that. By the way, God's never changed His mind. He asked for 10% flat rate for everybody. That's Bible, and that's right. You listening? Wouldn't be so much confusion if people just go by the Bible. It ain't right to tax a rich man more than it is a poor man percentage-wise. According to the Bible, everybody gives the same. Man got $10, he gives one. Man got $1 million, he gives whatever that is. 100,000. And didn't think I could do it, did you? He got 100,000. He got, you know what? He gets to keep 900,000. Man give $10, didn't have but $10, gets to keep 9. Same flat rate for everybody. It's not right to take extra from rich people and give it to poor people if the rich man worked for his money. That's a commercial. We'll get back to the message here in just a minute. I ain't rich, so I ain't got a dog in that fight. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Everybody ought to pay the same. You know what? You know what? You know what they're trying to do now? You know what Hillary and Bernie want to do? They want to take it off from rich people and give it to poor people and level everybody down. Bring the rich man down, bring the poor man up, and everybody have the same amount of money. That's socialism. And that ain't right, it ain't biblical, and it'll never work. I ain't politicking. I'm trying to get you to think straight and biblically this morning. It never will work. I tell you what you do. You can take all the money in the world this morning and equally distribute it among everybody. 7 billion people in the world, I don't know how much money's in the world, it would divide out to ever how much for the same people. And everybody was leveled, everybody had the same amount of money. In 1 year's time, there'd be rich people and poor people. They'd figure out how to get their money, and they'd wind up with it back. Jesus said, the poor you shall always have with you. Okay, commercial's over. You know what she done? She gave what she had to the Lord. You may not have but $10, but you put your dollar bill in there and watch what God can do with it. I was in church one time. We was having a service,
and I come fired up, ready to preach that morning. And I was standing up here, you know, boy, the Lord was moved. I thought the Lord's going to move today. I've got a good message and everything, and I didn't do nothing. There's a little girl come on the bus, sat right on this side, and she stood up and she said, "I sure want to thank the Lord for what He's done for me." And whoosh, the power of God come through that place. People started shouting. God moved in. He didn't need me and my great sermon. He didn't need our choir. That little girl gave Him what she had. You doing that? Are you giving God what you've got? If you can sing, are you singing for Him? I tell these kids can sing. I say, you better use that for God. You better not sing dirty music. Whatever you've got, if you can draw, draw for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you got the gift of gab, you can run that mouth. Tell somebody and say, "Lord, you've got my mouth." That's a handful for Him, for a lot of you, but He can do it. Amen. One sermon has been known to save a person from suicide. One sermon. One candle can do what the sun, the mighty sun, can't do. It can light up a dark room. I like what old Vance Havner, a great preacher, he said, the preacher, listen to me, all you preachers, he said, the preacher that will not preach his heart out to a few people will be no good for a multitude of people. And I believe that. I believe that. Years ago, most of you know, we had that youth camp out there on the lake and still did. Still going strong, great. And there has been literally thousands of people saved out there at that youth camp. And I've had people tell me, lots of people said, "How in the world did y'all come able to get that place on the lake and turn it into a youth camp?" Thousands of people say, "Some business deal? I didn't get on the internet." There wasn't no internet then. Thank God it'd be good if it was like that now. I didn't get on, send out letters and say, "Pray about a youth camp." Nothing. A lady in our church came to me one day. She said, "Brother Danny, I've got something I want to show you." That's how it started. Do you know how that happened? I asked that lady that God used to talk to me starting a youth camp. Brenda Hollifield, y'all remember Brenda? She said, "I'll tell you how it started, Brother Danny. It wasn't no sermon I preached. They didn't go to our church at that time. It wasn't no radio broadcast. It wasn't that they seen some devotional or I tweeted or twittered out or whatever you do. Nothing!" She said, she worked at the bank in Marion, and she said, "You came in the bank one day." I did. I go to the bank on Monday. The preacher goes back on Monday. She said, "You came in the bank one day," and she said, "You did something." And she said, "When you did that, God spoke to me and said, you need to get down there and help him. He needs y'all." And she wouldn't even tell me what it was. To this day, I don't know what it was. I didn't go there and say, "Well, praise God, I want everybody to pray for us at youth camp." I don't even know what I've done. I don't know if I bowed my head and said, "Oh God, help us be enough to pay my bills." I don't know if I let a little old lady in front of me. I might have picked my nose. I don't know. I really don't. But it was something little. Boy, if I could have that booger, I'd go get it and frame it. That's the most booger used by God that's ever been in history. You see, we got this attitude that you have to be up here. So you have to be on an intellectual level. Don't you have a doctor's degree? Nothing wrong with having stuff. Nothing wrong with having material things. Nothing wrong with being talented. Nothing wrong with being smart or good looking or beautiful or whatever. But I'm telling you this morning, God don't have to have that. You don't have to have that. Mary, the small box of ointment in John chapter 12, verse 3. Said she had a box of ointment. She come to the Lord, broke it, and the odor filled that house. It's filling this room today, that story that she did that. You see how God took that little thing. By the way, let me say something to you this morning. God don't have no little churches. People say, "Well, I just go to a little church." There ain't no little churches. If the Lord's in them, they're all great and wonderful. Some might be bigger than others, but there are no little churches to the Lord. Lad in John chapter 6 that had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Teenagers. Where are you at, Jessica? Are you in here? Stand up back there. See that girl just turned 16? You can talk this week. They went out on bus route yesterday. It's Eva and Hector. And this lady came today, 16-year-old girl. Y'all got more education than she's got. You know what your difference is? She gives it to God, and you keep it for yourself. Raise your hand back there, sister, where the lady that came. That lady right there. Oh, you got some more over here. Good to see you ladies back. Amen. Y'all the singers, ain't you? Amen. Be ready to sing. It's summer. Winter's over. Ain't going to snow no more, I hope. But listen, you know what? God used that girl. She gives what she has to God. I was preaching one Sunday, and I was preaching about the bus ministry, and we need bus work. We had these 2 girls come to church, and it was 18. Both of them was 18 years old. 18. And they were just like most 18-year-old girls. Grown body, really, really, really slow brain. I mean, really slow, all blonde roots to the bottom. And they sat right on the second row, and everything I'd preach, they just do like this. They come up to me one Sunday, and they said, we had a van, and I said, somebody needs to take this van, the guy quit driving, and go fill it up with kids. All you girls listening, all you boys listening, somebody needs to do this. And they come running up out of church, and they said, Brother Danny, we want that van. Can we start a van ministry? And I said, well, yeah, I guess. I mean, ain't nobody else volunteered to do it. What do we do? Go out Saturday and find a bunch of kids to ride the van Sunday. I said, okay, and took off. And I never even thought nothing else about it. Sunday morning came. I got up Sunday morning, downtown, dignified, reverend. Well, the choir was coming down looking all like this, you know, like you're supposed to. And they come running up and said, preacher, come here. And I've been over. They said, we had 16. I said, 16 what? They said, I'd forgot about it. They said, on the van. I said, you had 16 on that van this morning? I said, praise the Lord. Them girls, I bet they didn't know their ABCs. I mean, brother, we're talking. One of them said, look at that dog with one eye. The other went, like that. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, brother, blonde as you can get. That's the kind of people I'm talking about. And brother, I'm trying to get that girl. What could some of you do for God if you just give him some time, give him what you got? They come the next Sunday. I was up there acting all dignified again, like I can do if I have to. It's against my nature, but I make myself. Preacher, come here. I've been over and they said, we had 32. I said, you had 32 people in that van? 16 passenger van. It's truth. They said, is that good? I said, yeah, it's good, girls. Keep up. Don't let the cops get you. Son, they had them like Archies. They were their heads sticking out the door. They were standing in the aisles. I said, glory to God. If you Pharisees, don't worry about it. If you was right as they was, you'd be doing something for the Lord. They said, we want a bus. And we found a little old bus, and somebody bought it about $800 or $900. And about 3 Sundays, they come up and they said, we had 53. On a bus. You know what them girls did? They gave what they had to God. God don't have, he is not a talent scout. He don't have to. Some of you sitting there saying, well, I can't never do nothing. I'm just an old girl. Listen, people, I ain't never been to Bible school. It's evident. Shut up. But I'm going to tell you one thing, brother. God's got what I, he's got my hands. He's got my feet. He's got my heart. He's got my mind. Best I can tell, God's got me this morning. That's the secret. That's a secret. I'm telling you, that's a secret. Dorcas had a needle in Acts chapter 9. And it said she died. They were showing this thing. Somebody brought a coat and said, look at this pretty coat Dorcas made for me. A needle. But she took that needle and sewed for the Lord. Crocheted. That blonde sitting there one day, she was trying to crochet at a red light, and a cop pulled up and he said, pull over! She said, no! It's a sweater! Like that. That's the kind of people I'm talking about. Dorcas had this needle. Somebody said, I remember one night when it was real cold. I didn't know if we was even going to have anything, stay warm that night. Somebody knocked on the door, and it was Dorcas. She made us a comforter and brought it to us. My mom used to do stuff like that. That's Debbie, my sister, here this back there this morning. And mom used to sit around. She didn't have money to send everybody. She remembered everybody's birthday and made sure they sent them a card. She sent them a card and made sure she remembered. You know, just do what you can. Quit using it for an excuse that you don't have a lot and give what you have to God. We could go on and on and on, but I'm going to stop. We all know stories. Paul, the man that I preached about this morning. In our day, he would be a failure in the ministry. No building, no bus, no bank account, no health insurance, no radio ministry, no TV ministry, no internet, no CDs, nothing. In our days, he'd be a flop. Apostle Paul said, I give him everything I've got. You read them Acts and the Romans. Brother Paul gave God everything he had. And I'm telling you about him today. I want you to say this with me this morning. Jason, you sing that song. I can clearly see Paul, a man that gave God his all. That's what he wants from you today. I'm not much, but he can have all of it. What we need in this church, we need a bunch of you that just come and sit to say, you know what, I don't have a lot, but I'm giving God what I have. I'm giving God my hands, my feet, my eyes. He ain't going to hurt you. You think he's going to hurt you? You think you're going to be bored? Be the happiest life you've ever lived in your life. The happiest I've ever been in my life, I'm honest, is when I was totally surrendered to the Lord. Serving God with what you have. We need some people who will sell out. Not tiptoe around. Not just a Sunday morning Christian. Not just a Sunday Christian. Say, I'm going to give God my all. Let's stand with our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eyes closed. There's a young person here today. Little boy, little girl, teenager. Mom or dad. Say, Brother Danny, God spoke to my heart. He spoke to my heart. And you know what? I wanna live for him. I'm gonna give him my. You ain't got but one life, and it's soon gonna be past. Let's give it all to him this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you'd help every one of us. Lord, we don't hurt nobody but ourselves when we hold back. Help us to give it all. Give it all to you today. Have your way in our hearts. We love you. May your will be done in our life. God, help every one of us right now to give our all. Our heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning. You're saved, but you've been holding back. And you need to give it to him today. He'll bless you if you do. You'll regret it if you don't. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Brother Danny, I know I'm saved. But I want to give God my all. Come on, they're coming. Folks are coming. Come on, just get out of your seat. Young people, listen, you have to come to the altar every Sunday. That's fine. Amen. Ladies, come pray. Men, come pray with these folks. Somebody come pray with all these coming this morning. You give God your all. Say, Lord, you got my hands. Don't hold that little room locked up where you won't let the Lord in. Come on. Come on, get out of your seat, young people. Father, do what ought to be done right now. Seal this invitation for your glory. God, touch somebody's heart. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And for his sake. Amen. Let's sing.
All to Jesus.
Amen. Will you come this morning? Come on. Come on. That's right. Come on. Come on. Brother. Y'all come with these folks. Pray with them. They come on with us. Every Sunday, this couple does. Somebody come pray with them this morning. Amen. 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 That's right. Sing now.
I surrender all.
Give him y'all this morning.
I surrender all. to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Sing it, brother. Why we sing? All to Jesus. You won't regret it. He won't hurt you. All to Him.
At His feet I bow.
Hey.
Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now.
Amen.
I surrender. Amen. All.
You surrender all this morning.
I surrender all.
You surrender all today.
All. That's right. To thee, my blessed Savior. I